thank you for joining me in today's broadcast of The Love Way. I'm excited to share this message of God's unconditional love with you in the area of finances, and then especially in the area of sowing and reaping. I remember one day I spoke to somebody and I said to him, you know, the tithe is under the law. And the guy said to me, yes, the tithe is under the law, but the New Testament way is sowing and reaping. And when he said it to me, I went and I thought about and studied the scriptures out on that, because we need to see what the Bible says. And when we look at what the Bible says, we number one look at what Jesus say about something, and from there we build our doctrine, we build what we believe the Word of God says. And I came to a conclusion that I didn't think I would come to, but it was amazing to see the wonderful work Jesus Christ has done even in sowing and reaping. When we interpret the Bible, there's a very distinct way in which we're supposed to do it, I believe. A safe way, the safest way to look at any scripture or doctrine is from this point of view. What did Jesus teach on that? What did Jesus demonstrate in that area or concerning that thing? How did he live it? And the third thing is, if I want to take any scripture in the Bible, what does it, or how does it relate to the death, burial and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, as well as his birth and obedience to the law? Let me repeat that. If you want sound doctrine in anything, you must first look, what did Jesus teach about that? How did Jesus live it out? What was the manifestation of that in his life, physical life? And then, how does that thing that I want to say, how's that related to what Jesus Christ has done for you in his, him being born as a man, obedience to the law, death, burial and resurrection? I believe if those three things are in line and say the same thing, you are safe to preach that. So let's look at sowing and reaping, and we're going to go to Matthew chapter 6. And I think from here we're going to start to touch on how do we receive as Christians as well. And I believe the most foundational teaching on finances ever has been taught by Jesus himself. Remember what I said in Matthew 23, what Jesus said about the tithe? Please don't forget that. That's in the previous broadcast, the previous session. It is so important to know what he said there. I'm not going to go into it now. But let's look at provision. How does God provide for us, and what does Jesus teach about that? So we're going to look at what Jesus taught, what he did, and the finished work of Jesus Christ when it comes to sowing and reaping. What did Jesus teach? Matthew chapter 6, and we're going to read from verse 31. Therefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewith shall we be clothed? For after these things the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knows that you have need of all these things. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought of the morrow, for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. The first thing that God says here that I want you to know before we look at verse 26 and 25, I want you to know that God wants to bless you. He wants to give you all things. So the principle that we want to explain here is not to keep you in poverty. It is so that you can prosper. Don't think that if I say you don't have to sow to receive, that I want you in poverty. No, I want to teach what Jesus Christ has taught. Let's read from verse 31 again. It says, therefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, what shall we drink, or wherewith shall we be clothed? For after these things the Gentiles seek. Now what it says is, the things that we want to be clothed with, the car you want to drive, you want to put it in modern terms, the things that you need, don't take thought of it. You cannot serve God and money. So don't take thought of money. Take thought of God. Hallelujah. So many times we take thought of money, therefore we want to take thought of God so that we can meet our financial need. Now that is wrong. Just think of God. Meditate upon God and what He's done for you in Jesus Christ, and all these things shall be added. Now remember what He says here. It's important. After all these things, after what you must eat, what you must drink, what you must wear. And in today's life, I mean, just think of what the Gentiles want. If you know what a Gentile wants, that's exactly what God wants you to have. I'm not talking about sin and the bad things. I'm talking about what they desire concerning houses and cars and prosperity, to live, to eat, and all those things. It says, "For after all these things the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knows that you have need of these things." Now, don't look at what you will eat, where or where you will stay. After these things the Gentiles seek, your heavenly Father knows that you need a place to stay, food, and all the things the Gentiles seek. God says you need them. Now let's see what God says, what we must do in order to have them, to have all the things the Gentiles seek. Now I want to tell you, the Gentiles, their lives turn around money. The people that are not saved, you either serve God or you serve mammon. Now, they are serving mammon with all their life. They want nice things. That's it. Now, God says, you need these things. I know you need them. Then verse 34. Verse 33. But first seek the kingdom of God and His righteousness. What's the key to have the things that the Gentiles seek? Number one, don't seek it. Number two, seek God's kingdom. What is God's kingdom? The way He rules. How does God rule? God rules on this planet through what Jesus Christ has done, manifested in human beings. Hallelujah. So how did God rule over poverty? Jesus became poor. 2 Corinthians 8 verses 9. And if you've got time, we're going to look into that scripture today. Otherwise, in the next session. Jesus Christ was rich. He gave His riches up. He became poor so that we, through His poverty, what He's done, might become wealthy. Now, that's God's kingdom concerning finances. It says, seek His kingdom and seek His righteousness. How do we seek His righteousness? How do we become His righteousness? The Bible says, He was made sin so that we might be made the righteousness of God through Jesus Christ and believing on Him. So, what must we seek to have financial prosperity? Righteousness by faith and His kingdom, which He says is in us and He freely gives it unto us. That's what we must seek. That's the key to financial prosperity. Nowhere was it mentioned here that you had to give anything in order to prosper financially. Okay, now, let me read it again, because as I preach this, and even in my own mind, because we've been trained for years that we need a sow to get, we need a tithe, otherwise we rob God, and all those type of things, which are all Old Testament principles, which is not the New Testament principle for financial provision. Our minds has been so darkened by that, that it's difficult to see the light. The Bible says that as long as what you read the law, you are blinded. As long as what you read the law, you are blinded. So if we were reading the law all the time, and it's being preached every day from pulpits all over the world, and on television, and written in books, and that's all that Christians basically ever hear on finances, how will they ever see the light? And if you tell them this is the light, it will be difficult. So it might be difficult for you when you hear what I've got to say. But I want you to listen to this. Open your heart, because this is the good news. This teaching, through this, there will be ample finance in the church and in your life. Hallelujah. Now the Word of God says, don't seek financial prosperity. How many people seek financial prosperity and they say, well, I need that thing, and I'm going to do something about that need. I'm going to sow money so that I can reap. Now, God's way of receiving is to seek the kingdom of God. And the kingdom of God is in righteousness, peace and joy, not in your own works, in the Holy Spirit. So seek righteousness by faith. Seek joy by faith. and seek peace by faith in Jesus Christ. That's all. Because once you know that, you will know all things has been given unto you. Your faith will be open for God's grace. God's kingdom functions by grace. When you seek His grace, and when you seek His righteousness, which is by Jesus, all these things that the Gentiles seek shall be added unto you by God. Hallelujah. Amen. Now let's read what Jesus said on sowing and reaping. Let's start from verse 24. It says, "No man can serve two masters, for either will he hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon," or money. "Therefore, I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what you will eat and what you shall drink, nor yet for your body, what you shall put on. Is not life more than meat, and the body more than clothes?" Now this here is Jesus' teaching on sowing and reaping and financial prosperity. Hallelujah. It's written in red. You know why I say that? It's the words of the Messiah Himself. Amen. "Behold the fowl of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them." Let me read it again. "Behold the birds of the air, for they sow not." So what does God say? He says, look at the birds. They sow not, neither do they reap. Hallelujah. Now this is, listen, what He tried to say is they put in no effort. They do nothing to get. They sow not. Now this, I believe, can show in two ways. A physical sense that they don't sow literal seed and then reap. No, somebody else sows on their behalf, and then they just get from that. You know, they're not into the harvest thing. They're not into the sowing and reaping thing. The birds of the air are not under the sowing and reaping principle. They're not under that. Hallelujah. We're still going to get into Genesis 8:22 as well to explain the whole source of this thing. "Behold the birds of the air, neither do they sow or reap or gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much better than they?" The birds of the air don't sow, they don't reap, and God feeds them. Now that word "better" is, are you not worth much more? He says, are you not worth much more than the birds? So what God says is, it's not by sowing and reaping that you'll receive, but by the worth that you have for God. Hallelujah. The worth that you have in the eyes of God is the basis on which He provides. That's the way He provides for the birds. Now let me read it again. "No man can serve two masters, for either will he hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money. Therefore, I say unto you, take no thought for your life." Taking thought for your life, taking thought for your life, for your future, saying, well, I must sow to reap. Serving mammon. That's what Jesus says. "What shall we eat? What shall we drink? Nor yet for your body, what shall we put on? Is not life more than meat, and the body more than clothes?" So what he says, don't worry about these things. "Look at the birds of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor do they gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not better than they? Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit unto his stature? And why do you take thought of clothes? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothed the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith?" Now what he says here is, If you cannot understand that God will provide for you on the basis of your worth, you are of little faith. You don't understand God's way of thinking. Remember what we said. Well, now I say remember what we said. That wasn't a different series. The series on faith. You can really get a hold of that. That's also wonderful. It will help you a lot. Faith is God's persuasion. The way God thinks. Now he says here, oh, you of little faith. Are those... The people that are of little faith are those that don't know that God provides for them on the basis of their worth and that He is their Father caring for them, knowing that He's got need for that. So, the whole teaching of Jesus Christ on finances is like this. God is your Father. He loves you. Don't even worry about these things at all. Not even about clothes. You are worth much more to God than birds, which are not even under the sowing and reaping principle. They are not under sowing and reaping, but I care for them because they are worth something to me. Look at the grass. They are clothed better than Solomon. Now, wasn't Solomon clothed in beauty? He says, they are clothed better, the lilies, they are clothed better than Solomon. Look at the grass, how beautiful it is, and tomorrow it's thrown in the oven. And God clothes them like that. How much more? Because you are worth more. So the whole New Testament principle, the principle of Jesus Christ for provision, is your worth to God. Hallelujah. That's it. And if you can believe that, if you cannot believe that, you know what? You're of little faith. You're of little persuasion. You're of little... Your thought patterns are small concerning the way God thinks about you. Hallelujah. Verse 31. Therefore, because God clothes the grass like this, because God feeds the birds that doesn't even sow or reap, and the lilies of the field, He clothes better than Solomon. Now what does He say? Because of this, take no thought of your life. What you shall eat, what you shall drink, wherewith you shall be clothed. For the Gentiles seek these things, he says, God says that you need these things. But if you want to seek something, seek God's righteousness, not by your deeds, but by the faith of God, hallelujah, of Jesus Christ, seek His way of doing, His kingdom and His kingdom principle. Now, I've got good news for you. The kingdom principle for finances in the New Testament, the life of the New Testament believer, is not sowing and reaping. It's not the kingdom's principle. The kingdom's principle for finances is 2 Corinthians 8 verses 9. Let me read it quickly. It says, for you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though He was rich, yet for your sakes He became poor, so that you through His poverty might be made rich. Now the context of that scripture is finances. Now let's read from verse 7. Therefore, as you abound in everything, in faith and in utterance and in knowledge and in all diligence and in your love to us, see that you also abound in this grace also. So what he says is abound in giving, because he was talking about the collection for the other Christians. Now Paul came and he said, I wanted to collect money from you guys. He says, you abound in everything. So he said that they had finances. I speak not by commandment, but by occasion of the forwardness of others, and to prove the sincerity of your love. So what he said is, give. You guys made a promise, give. Now he comes in verse 9. For you know the grace of God. You know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though He was rich, that word rich in the Greek means physical, financial prosperity. That's what it means. Yet for your sakes He became poor. That word poor means He was stripped of His riches. He had nothing. He was made poor financially. That you through His poverty might be made rich. And herein I give my advice. For this is expedient for you who began before, not also to do, but also to be forward a year ago. Now therefore, perform the doing of it. Give. Why must we give? Because they knew the grace. They understood the principle for financial prosperity, which was God's grace, which says this: Jesus Christ was rich, He became poor so that we through His poverty might be made rich. And that grace manifests through acknowledging what He says. That grace manifests in the hearts of humble people. A humble person will say, remember what the Bible says in, I think it's 1 Peter 5 verse 6, God gives grace to the humble. Now what is a humble person? A humble person is somebody who's willing to agree with another. That's humble. Now if you humble yourself before God, you say, God, I humble myself. You say that you will provide for me on the basis of my worth to you, and that's what I believe. And the principle that manifests that is your kingdom principle on finances, which is your grace. He was rich, He became poor so that we through His poverty might be made rich. And I humble myself, O God. I thought it was sowing and reaping, but I see it is not. It is the grace of God. I want to ask you this. What is the principle for health in the New Testament? What's the principle for receiving health when somebody is sick or healing? Say somebody's got cancer. What's the principle by which he will be healed? By the stripes of Jesus we have been healed, isn't it? He was healthy. He took sickness upon him so that we through what he has done might become healed and healthy. Hallelujah. So when we pray for the sick, how do we pray? Or when we heal the sick, we heal in the name of Jesus. In what He has done for us. Isaiah 53. He bore our infirmities and carried our diseases. So why are we healed? Because He carried our diseases. That's why. Now, prosperity is exactly the same. And I thank God for 2 Corinthians 8 verses 9. How will we be delivered from poverty? Poverty is a curse. He became a curse for us. By Him becoming a curse for us, that curse has been removed. And by believing on Him, we'll prosper financially. That's it. And the Bible says, don't take anything away from the Word of God, or don't add anything to it. Now let's not, yes, but. A goat butts. We don't butt. We say, thank you, my God, for your good news and what you've given unto me in Jesus Christ. This is what Jesus taught about finances. And that's what we should bow to. Thank you, my God. Hallelujah. That is the good news. Let's read it again, just once more. It says, therefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, what shall we drink, or wherewith shall we be clothed? For after these things the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knows that you have need of all these things. But seek the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things that the Gentiles seek shall be added unto you. And His kingdom, His principle, the kingdom principle for finances is grace. Oh, thank you, my God. There's a word of prosperity that goes out towards us. And I want to read just the way it manifests. Colossians chapter 1 verse 6. It says, there's a word that says, you must prosper. There's a word that goes out that says, the curse of poverty has been taken away. And there's a word that says, prosperity is yours. But how does God's word manifest? How's the word of finances also going to manifest? Just like the word of anything else concerning God. It says, this word which has come unto you, Colossians 1 6, this word which has come unto you as in all the world and is bringing forth fruit, and it does also in you, since the day you heard of this word and knew the grace of God in truth. Hallelujah. Now I've got good news for you. You don't have to try to give to get all of those type of things. Now you by your giving might start to receive. And I want to explain it this way. Because you might say, Bertie, I've been sowing and reaping all my years and I did receive. You know why you received and why a lot of people only once they've given receive? The Bible says those that come to God must believe. The word believe means to have their minds at rest. Hallelujah. Now if you cannot find your mind, the only the moment your mind rests, that's when belief kicks into action. Now, so many people will not have their minds rest unless they've given. I first give, and the moment you give, your mind rests and say, well, now I know God can provide for me. Then God provides for you on the basis of your faith, not of your giving. And I can prove it to you. So many times they'll receive in proportion to their giving. Not because God looked at the proportion of the giving, but they're only willing to receive in the proportion of their giving. They say, well, I've given a lot, so now I rest my mind, my mind's at rest, and I believe God's going to provide a lot. And know what happens? He provides a lot, because that's what you allow Him through your faith. Hallelujah. Now, exactly the negative is just as applicable. If you don't give, so many people, then they don't open their minds to receive from God because they have not given. Their mind is not at rest, they cannot believe. And because their mind's not at rest, they don't believe, and then they don't receive. That's it. Because what they receive is directly based on their works. Now, that is a curse, my friend. It's not the blessing of God. Now, we're going to look more into that in the next session. Remember what I said, listen to all the sessions, otherwise you're not going to have a balanced understanding. I'm still going to speak on giving to the church, giving to the work of God, and all of that on the New Testament principle. But I first had to just touch on all these things. Thank you, and God bless you.